Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Genesis 24, Genesis chapter 24. And it's been an exciting theme, the theme of love for the month of February. And I've enjoyed all the special music, a lot of songs talking about God's love and different parts of love. And it's been a blessing. And of course, our Valentine gala last night was a real blessing. And is it gala or gala?
Gala.
I think it's a gala.
Like the apple?
Should we Google that?
Google that. Somebody probably just did. What is it?
Gala.
You're not going to admit that you Googled it, are you? Anyway, well, here, I'll... By the time I find stuff, it's already changed, usually, but... Anyway, you did not realize all the fame that we have represented in our church. In fact, I had people asking. They were wanting Willie Pearson's autograph. And Sonny and Cher Monroe trying to get their autograph. So those are available. And then the tambourine player, Linda Cook, they're wanting her autograph as well. She wants to play a tambourine in church. Her and Mike. You know, it'd almost be worth it just to see that. Her and Mike. Anyway. But, you know, we can outfund the heathen anytime, anywhere, any place. We can outfund them when we're not having fun. Amen? You know, we can be in the valley and still outfun them because we have the joy of the Lord. We are more than conquerors. We can be going through the biggest trial, the biggest battle, and we're still outfunning them because we're more than conquerors. We win. We know we win in the whole thing. We're going to win, and praise the Lord for that. And I love this passage of Scripture, and it, really Genesis 24, such a blessing, the story of Isaac and Rebekah. And I've called it the story, a story of love, to follow into the outline for the month of February. A story of love that really parallels our salvation and our walk with God. And this morning we really talked about the first part of the story, and that is comparing with our salvation. And we talked about Abraham, the father. He had a plan. And the plan was that he would send his servant, Eliezer, to find a bride for Isaac. And again, this is just an amazing story, how that Eliezer, he is totally entrusted with the bride for Isaac. And so then we talked about the son's prosperity and the fact that, of course, Isaac is a type of Christ, and he was willing to die. As Abraham in Genesis 22 offered him as a sacrifice, but God stopped him, and that's the only reason it stopped, was that God stopped him, and God provided a ram in a thicket for the sacrifice. And then Isaac's willingness, of course, he is going to be prosperous because everything that his father has is his. And so here Eliezer is going... far away, about a month's journey on foot, and going far, far away to find a bride. But he certainly has a groom that is very, very eligible and very, boy, you talk about somebody good to talk about. And he does. He talks about him, talks about how his master Abraham has everything, but everything his master Abraham has belongs to his son Isaac. And boy, some gal's going to get a good deal on that. And so then we talked about the servant's presentation, and that's what he does. That's all he talks about. Just talks about Isaac. Talks about Isaac and all that Isaac has and all that Isaac can do and everything. And then the bride's persuasion. Eventually the question comes to Rebekah, wilt thou go with this man? Will you do it? It's up to you. Will you go? And again, what a beautiful picture of our salvation. And how the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit tells us all about Jesus. When you're convicted, when you were convicted about your salvation, it was because you realized Jesus died for you, Jesus loves you, And you realized that you needed to be saved, and the Holy Spirit just kept speaking and speaking and convicting and convincing and doing everything he could to get you to realize your need for Christ. And then it comes down to that question, wilt thou go? Will you be saved? Again, we pointed out that Rebecca's father said, let her go. She can go. It's fine with me. You know, but it had to be her decision. And our salvation, there's a lot of people that want people to be saved. Maybe you're not saved. I promise you, there's a whole bunch of folks who want you to be saved. But it still comes down to that personal decision, the bride's persuasion, where she has to be persuaded. And so when we left this morning, she said yes. She said, I'll go. And we pick up in verse 61 of Genesis 24. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way, and Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Father, bless the preaching tonight. Please speak to our hearts. And thank you so much for a story of love that ends with our salvation, our home in heaven, our eternity, our wonderful, wonderful, everlasting life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for that story of love. Bless now and speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's an amazing thing to think that Rebekah went with Eliezer, the servant. It's amazing to think that she would have that kind of faith. And yet it is faith that we have when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's not foolish faith. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit dealing with us, telling us only the truth all the time, and so it's not faith that is a foolish faith, but it is faith. And when Rebekah says, "I will," basically she is accepting Isaac as her husband, and she is accepting that as one who would be engaged and who would have an engagement. And of course, you can go back. You can think about your time when you proposed. Byron told us last night a lot of stories about Louise that we never knew. Told about that. And again, you know, what was it like? How excited? Well, now try to think about Rebekah. Try to think about what all Rebekah is going through. And I can tell you this: as you think about what Rebekah is going through, understand that, as we pointed out this morning, we are the bride. Christ is the bridegroom, and we are in the same position as Rebekah, because we're on our way to the wedding. We're on our way to see the bridegroom. We're on our way to the marriage supper, on our way to the marriage, the wedding, and we're on our way. And we are just exactly where Rebekah is in verse 61. And by the way, where she would have to have faith, we have to have faith as well. And we'll talk about that. But, you know, praise the Lord that Rebekah said, I'll go by faith. And you know what? That's what we said. Lord, I'll trust you. I'll trust you. I call on you to forgive me. Please come in my heart and save me. I want to go to heaven. I'm looking forward to heaven. And by faith, we're saved. And then the Bible says the just shall live by faith. So now I think about the trip home. The trip home. It is no different with us than it is for Rebekah here, as she takes this long, about a month's journey with Eliezer, with a whole new life, a whole new world. Everything's brand new. Everything's going to be new to her. And isn't that the way it is with the Christian life? Isn't that how it was when you first got saved? It was all new. It was like, I don't know what this is about. That's why anytime somebody gets saved, we need to be real, real long-suffering. Anytime you have a new convert, it's all new to them. Jesus said you must be born again. They're literally new babies in Christ. And it's so exciting to watch. And I know, I know on this trip, and I hope someday we get to see a DVD or whatever mode of looking at stuff like that. I hope we get to see this transpire and see how it all happened. Because I promise you this, Rebecca would look just like us. She would do things just like we do. She would do things like one who is on a journey, on a trip, where she's never been. But it's going someplace that she is excited about. A place and a situation that is only going to get better and better and better and better. Number one, we see the wait. We see the wait. Verse 61, Rebecca rose, her damsels, they rode upon the camels. Remember the 10 camels that Eliezer had? Well, now we see why he had 10 camels, because Rebecca and her damsels go along, and of course there's supplies and different things, and it's a long trip, and she followed the man. The servant took Rebecca and went his way, and it is a long trip, about a month long. Rebecca had heard about Isaac. She had agreed that she would be Isaac's wife. She had agreed to the terms of Eliezer, and now she had to wait. I remember when I proposed to Brenda, and I wanted to get married right then. I didn't want to wait. And I don't know how she felt. Actually, she was all excited about the ceremony and all that kind of stuff, and women like all that. And you know, I didn't care about that. I just wanted to get married. I wanted to get this thing, hey, let's get this thing nailed down here. And but there's always a wait. Some people are engaged for a year, some 2 years, and sometimes it's even longer than that. But there's always going to be that wait. There's going to be that we just have to wait. And Rebecca now, you know, hey, I said yes. Where is he? Oh, it's about a month away. You know, well, I want to see him now. I'm sorry, you can't now. It's about a month away, and you're just going to have to wait. And look at Romans 8, verse 22, and you can see the parallel of Romans 8 and verse 22. And certainly when you first get saved, you don't necessarily look forward to going to heaven. But the older you get and the more you walk with God, the more that you grow in the Lord, and the more your body wears out, you start getting excited about that place called heaven. Romans 8 and verse 22. The Bible says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we all ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." You know, we're waiting for that day. Waiting for that marriage supper of the Lamb. Waiting for that wedding day. Oh, when I got saved, I said, "I will call upon Jesus. Oh, God, save my soul." And the Holy Spirit, like an engagement ring, came in to dwell as the earnest, as the down payment, as the guarantee that day is going to come. Hey, listen to me. When you got saved, you got the guarantee that day is going to come. Now you just have to wait. Now, I'll be honest with you. There are some days I'd like it to just be now. There are some days that whether it be death or whether it be rapture, man, I'm ready. I know you feel the same way. We think about that. There are some days, but you know we have to wait. We just have to wait. Look at Galatians 5:5. It kind of says it well. Galatians 5 and verse 5. "For we," watch what it says, "through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." How do we do it? Through the Spirit. And all of a sudden, my mind goes to Rebecca. My mind goes back to Genesis 24. My mind goes to Rebecca, and she gets on the camel, and her damsels are there, and she knows them. And Eliezer is leading the way. She just met him. She just found out about Isaac. And my mind goes to her there, and how God says, here's how you wait: through the Spirit. How's Rebecca going to wait? Well, Eliezer is representative of the Holy Spirit of God. And all along that way, he's going to comfort. All along that way, he's going to tell her, you made the right decision. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does? Over and over, doesn't he? If you listen to him. That's why we should never quench the Spirit of God when he speaks to us. That's why services are so important when he says, you need to go at the altar and you need to pray, because he's comforting us along the way. You did the right thing. You made the right decision. And Rebecca, you know that Rebecca said, well, you know, I missed my bed back home after a couple nights in the wilderness. You know, I missed some of the things. Boy, you know, the food that we ate back there, that was good. I mean, the campfire's all right, but I'm getting a little tired of Spam. You know? And all along the way, Eliezer saying, oh, yeah, but you got to understand what's coming. You got to understand, it won't be a campfire then. You got to understand, it won't be a tent then. You got to understand, you're not going to miss anything from home then. Because you're going to be with the groom. And you're going to be in a wonderful place. And all along that way, even though it's a long wait, the Holy Spirit, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He is trying to help you with that wait. And our bodies get old and we get tired. And all of a sudden, instead of being wide awake at 10 o'clock, we're you know, 9 o'clock, we're starting to doze off. Right? And oh, you know, this body is getting, just wait. I can imagine Rebecca along the way, I'm so tired. Just wait. It's going to be all right. It's going to be worth it. I promise you. Over and over, he had to tell her, it'll be okay. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be great. The Holy Spirit enables us to wait for that day, to have a good time rejoicing and to wait. Oh, how many people, you know, they get disillusioned and get bitter because sometimes that journey, that trip, it's kind of tough. Sometimes, you know, you get away from that old world and you're not familiar with what all's going on. And you remember when you first got saved. You remember the songs you didn't know. You remember people you didn't know. We were talking about this the other day, how we started going to church at Marion Baptist Temple, and I was still a long-haired hippie, and we were tucking my hair and tugging on her skirt, trying to make it longer, and while the preacher preached, and those people would invite us to do things, and I still remember when they said, hey, we're having a party, and I went, oh, groovy. You know, because party to me meant one thing, but to them it meant Millbourne's. Some Christian game, kind of like the game of life, you know. And you go around this little track and you have flat tires and, you know, and it's just life and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, oh, this is going to be really bad. You know, this is not good. But we had a wonderful time. And they said, you know what? God's people always have a good time. Now, we think we have fun now. Wait till we get to heaven. Can you hear Eliezer telling her that? Can you hear him? Rebecca, it is a wilderness. It's different than what you're used to. But I got news for you. It's worth where you're going. It's worth it. It's totally worth it. It'll be all right. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, enables us to wait on the Lord. By the way, we're not the only ones anxious about this thing. Do you know that? I read in verse 62, Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. You talk about a love story. In my mind, I see this thing happening, and he looks up, and sure enough, there's that little caravan right there, and he knows. Now, they didn't have cell phones back. I know, kids, it's hard to believe. There was a day they didn't have cell phones. They didn't text. He didn't get a text on our way. You know, he didn't get a picture text. You know, of Rebecca. All right, nothing like that. All right, he's by faith totally. I promise you, he's excited. Here comes his bride. Amen. He is excited. And every time I read that, I think about how the Bible says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Well, I know we grieve over here, but man, he's got another saved one coming home. And he waits. And he loves it, just like we do. Do you think the marriage supper of the Lamb is we're the only ones going to be rejoicing? He died for us. He shed his blood for us. He was crucified for us. Wow. The wait. There's a wait. There's a period of time. But one day, that wedding is going to take place. Number two is the way. And really, this is the main thing that I think about, the way, because it's where we all are, every one of us. If you're saved, you're on your way. If you're saved, you are engaged, if you will. There's going to be a wedding. It's guaranteed. Nothing's going to stop it. But boy, that way can be something. And it's different for everybody. You know, Rebecca, again, she is totally, totally going by faith. That's how we go. Don't expect a whole lot of sight on the way. Don't expect a whole lot of, you know, guarantees that, a lot of religious programming. If you get saved, it'll be all fun and games. Don't expect that. Okay? You know, the one old boy, it's fun being saved. Well, it's joyful, but it isn't always fun. There's some valleys. You know, I guarantee Eliezer, he had just come that way. He already knew how many rivers they'd have to go through. He already knew how much mud they'd get in. He already had a good idea of what the weather was going to be like without watching the Weather Channel. You know, he knew it wasn't going to be a picnic. And he knows it's not a picnic this way. But the Bible simply says this, says she followed the man. Got on the camel and followed the man. I think it's safe to say she'd never been there before. She hadn't. She hadn't seen any of these things before. And I got news for you. When you get saved, the life is stuff you've never seen before, never thought of. Trials, hardships, valleys. And understand, she still hadn't seen Isaac. Again, Eliezer couldn't pull out his phone and say, now I've got a whole slideshow here of Isaac. Nothing like that. Not even an old-fashioned photo album. Didn't have it. He might have gotten an artist rendering. You know, I've not seen Jesus. We all, in our minds, we think we know what he looks like. By the way, it's not the weird paintings that you've seen. But we have an idea in our own minds of what we think he looks like, but none of us have seen him. But in her mind, she sees him. And she longs for him. Isaac, the one who would be her husband. In my mind, I see him. In my mind, every time we have the Lord's Supper, and praise the Lord for the Lord's Supper. Too bad he had to tell us to do it. Too bad we didn't just think of it. By the way, you can stop and think about him anytime. We should. Because of the way. Because the way is a way that we've never been. The way is at the end of it, is someone we've never seen. But understand that the servant was a huge part of the plan. And the Holy Spirit's a huge part of our lives. He's a huge part of our lives. Charismatics, they miss out on really what the Holy Spirit is all about. He is our comforter. He doesn't talk about himself. You have people all the time, they talk about, oh, I need the Spirit, I need the Spirit. When you get saved, you have the Spirit. You have all of the Spirit. And you don't need more of the Spirit. You need to give him more of you. You need to quit griping about the rocks in the path and quit complaining because there's nowhere to plug in your curling iron and quit griping about the weather and the problems and all that and just say, hey, I'm going to follow you because I know at the end of the road there's going to be a wedding. And so the servant's a huge part of the plan. First we see his presence. He vowed to bring her. Remember with Abraham? Made a vow. I will. Abraham said, you vow to me that you will bring a bride for my son. He isn't gonna cut out of there. There's no way. Eliezer, he's going to bring the bride to Isaac. Sounds kind of like the Holy Spirit to me. Lo, I am with you always. Well, what if I take a little sidetrack into a bar for a little while? Huh? Oh, he's still in you. What's he doing? He's bugging the fire out of you. That's what he's doing. Well, what if I take a sidetrack over here and get into some worldly stuff? Oh, he's in you. He's still there. Amen. Thank God he is. You ought to thank God for conviction. You ought to thank God for chastening. Why? Because he's taking you down that path. He wants you to get where you're going. And he wants you to get there the very best way. You know, every time we take a little detour, isn't it, can you imagine Rebecca saying, you know what? I like this way better. This way looks like a hard way. That way looks better. If she veers off with her camel, guess what Eliezer has to do? He has to go. Poor guy. Can you imagine? Oh, the flowers are prettier over here. Those look like weeds. Ooh. That's yucky. That's mud. Eliezer, no, that's the way we got to go. We got to go this way. She said, I want to go this. And there she goes, off this way. Guess what? He's with her. That's the Holy Spirit. He doesn't leave you. I'll never leave thee. Lo, I am with you always. You say today, oh, I just feel like I'm all alone. I got away from God. And you're not, though. He's there. That's how you have the presence to know that you're not right with God. Oh, thank God for conviction. Thank God for chastening. Thank God that his presence is always there. I see also his promise. And, you know, I can imagine that Rebecca had a lot of doubts. Think about it. Read the story. I mean, she had to have a lot of doubts over and over. You know, she took her damsels with her, so you know there could be a problem there. Rebecca, you blew it. Rebecca, I just got stung by a bee. You did too? Yeah. Oh, the mosquitoes are terrible out here. Yes, isn't it? And it's terrible for my complexion too. And my hair, I just can't do anything with it. Can you hear it? I mean, it's got to be tough. But you know what? She had his promise. She had his promise. Not only that he'd never leave, but that he would take her where he said he was going to take her. We have doubts, but we also have a promise. We have a promise from God. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee. When I asked my wife to marry me, and when she said yes, I put a little diamond ring on her finger. And that was our promise that we were going to get married. God puts the Holy Spirit in us. That's his promise. That it's going to happen just like he said. And we're going to heaven. And we're going to be on streets of gold. And we're going to be in a mansion. And we are going to be the bride. It's his guarantee. His promise. And so every time you have a doubt, you can always go back to his promise. And he doesn't break his word. His presence, his promise. We see, third, we see his purpose. A bride for Abraham's son. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to bring us back. It's amazing how so many churches are even calling themselves, of course nowadays a lot of them don't anymore. They don't want, you know, well, we don't want to be identified with churches. But the fact of the matter is, they've gotten far away from the purpose. What's that? To get a bride. Get people saved. That's the whole purpose. You know, you ought to speak in tongues, you'll feel good. Show me that in the Bible. That has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Nothing to do with what he came to do. He came to get a bride for Jesus. And you know, that's his purpose. That's what it's all about. You know, Rebecca could wonder things and she could kind of question what's going on and are we going the right way? But she knows, hey, this guy is determined, no doubt about it. He said, hinder me not. And you can rest, folks, on the Holy Spirit. He is leading you down the path. If you'll follow him, he's taking you one place and one place only. And that is to the wedding. He doesn't have anything else for you. And along the way, there's all kinds of stuff. to help us grow. But he wants you to be with the Lord Jesus Christ as much as you want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his purpose. I wish we'd understand Eliezer and understand just how determined he was. That's why would we ever quench? Stop! Shh! Don't talk to me! Quench the Holy Spirit. I want to be mad, so leave me alone. Why would we ever do that? Can you see Rebecca? Well, I'm just mad about this. Well, Rebecca, you know, you can take the trip happy or you can take it sad. But we're going. Seems like she'd rather be happy. His presence, his promise, his purpose. How about this? His preparation. Because he's got about a month to prepare her for a new place, new city, new shopping places. Amen, women? Right? Yeah. He's going to teach all along the way. That's why the Bible says he's our guide. He's going to be teaching all along the way. Why? You know, I can imagine Eliezer saying, now here's Isaac's favorite food and here's how you cook it. Kind of like breakfast, Byron. You know, here's Isaac's favorite colors. You need to make sure your wardrobe has these colors in it because Isaac will be pleased with that. Here's Isaac's favorite sports teams. You don't think so? Okay. But yeah. He's going to teach her all about. He's preparing her for that day. That's what our life is all about, you know? Yes, we're supposed to be telling people how to be saved and try to get more and more and more people to go. But the point is, you know, God wants you to grow and learn more about Jesus. Amen. That's why we have our Bible. That's why we have preaching times. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have teaching. Because we need to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going there. Amen. Learn about heaven. Look, if you will, at John 16, verse 13. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. All truth is what he's going to guide us into. All truth. We go back and we looked at this morning, Ephesians 5, verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We need to hear that over and over again. Over and over again. He gave himself for it. Why? Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word. You know what? We're not going to take Rebecca as some, you know, if her language isn't right, her speech isn't right, her actions aren't right. We're not going to, you know, he's going to teach her and say, hey, listen, you are going to be married to my master's son, and I got some things I got to show you. I got to teach you some things. And God says, I got some things to teach you too. You're going to be in heaven. You think you'll use your slang in heaven? Not if you're using slang about the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not. You think you'll use vulgarity? And of course not. You've got to have speech cleaned up. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And all along the way, Rebecca, I guarantee, say, hey, don't do that. Can't do that. Now, we had the idea pretty much that Rebecca was pretty sharp, and she was a pretty good woman. But I guarantee there was things all along the way. And there's stuff all along the way we've got to learn, too. You know, right now, you have to wonder, if you can't rejoice over the things of God, what in the world are you going to do in the presence of God? I don't think so. Everything I read in the book of Revelation, when the saved are gathered, they're praising him. Amen. They're shouting, they're laughing and singing and rejoicing. Amen. We're getting prepared for that. You know, shouting and praising and rejoicing. That's what it's going to be like in heaven. We see his praise. I think all along, all the way. He's saying, let me tell you more about Isaac. Let me tell you more. All the way, the whole trip, he talks about Isaac. He didn't promote him. She doesn't care about him. She cares about Isaac. Now, I'm not saying we don't care about the Holy Spirit, but we should never, never focus on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's insulted when you focus on him. He wants you to focus on Jesus. Amen. Always Jesus. And as we walk in the Spirit, every day should make us long for Jesus that much more. You say today, you know, this just isn't getting to me. Something's wrong then. It just, you know, it's just not, this isn't my cup of tea. Then maybe your walk isn't in the Spirit. Maybe you got so far away from Eliezer, because I guarantee you get around Eliezer, he's going to talk about Isaac. You get around the Holy Spirit and you are filled with him, all he's going to do is tell you about Jesus. To the place where you have the Lord's Supper and you look forward to it instead of, oh, brother, here we go again. I wish he'd hurry. I wish those ushers would hurry up. I wish they'd get this down better. What is wrong with them? You know? Where you say, wow, another time where I can just stop and think about him. Holy Spirit, his praise. And then the next thing I see is his protection. Because in the wilderness there would be animals. There would be danger all around. He is the comforter. Amen. 1 Peter 3:13, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Who is it that will harm you? If you're following the right one. Now, I'll be honest with you, Rebecca, you know, in my mind, I could see her taking a camel ride off in the, you know, getting kind of mad about, well, where do I plug in my curling iron? You know, I mean, I could see that. I could see her not being real happy with some of the things that were going on, just like a lot of Christians get. We just don't like it. And I can see us going off on our little own way, too. And by the way, when you go off on your own way, oh, he's coming. He's with you. But sometimes he'll let you trip and fall. And sometimes you might get in poison ivy. And it's no fun. But thank God for his protection. Nothing's going to happen to you that he doesn't allow. It's just like Rebecca. What about his provision? She would never lack. She left everything. But as she left everything, she had more than everything. She left all she knew. But she found out there was a lot she had to learn. Well, I never would have dreamed as an unsaved kid that I would pray food down. Never thought about it. Just like children of Israel couldn't believe when manna came from heaven. What a shock. What a shock when God provides. What an amazing thing when God takes care of us. When we think, what are we going to do? I don't know. What? There's no hope. It's over. We're all just going to die. It happened to people in the Bible. And God takes care of you. Nothing like it in all the world. The sack of groceries. Well, nothing can take the place of that sack of groceries that was on our doorstep. No idea how it got there. Nothing takes place of people every now and then somebody giving a $5 bill, $10 bill, just when it was needed. We sure were lucky. Nothing can ever replace that. Because the Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs. All your needs. And all along the way, Rebecca, I guarantee she, you know, it had to be tough. You just think about it. Again, we're not talking about going down the interstate in a car. We're talking about a camel ride in the wilderness. But his provision's always, always sufficient for what we need. When's the last time you thanked him for providing your food, your water, taking care of you? And then the last thing I thought about as I read this, I think about his patience. It's a long trip. You know, fellas, you, and it's not just women. Sometimes it's the other way around. I understand that. But just imagine, we'll do it this way. Just imagine taking somebody with you. Imagine the worst traveler you've ever taken and driving for 8 hours. Okay, it's a kid. Are we there yet? As you pull out of the driveway. Okay, imagine. Every, half hour. Is there a restroom? You know. Again, we're just dealing with a normal, these are just people just like us. And in my mind, I think of Eliezer. And again, it's something when we get to heaven, we can ask him how that went. Too hot, too cold, too much dust, too much rain. He had to be real patient, didn't he? I think about the Holy Spirit just with me only. I know me. And he's got to be real patient. How many, seriously, think about in your own life, how many times have you complained about either part of the weather? It was too dusty, so he made it rain, and you griped about the mud. Boy, he has to be patient with us, doesn't he? I'm just so tired, if I could just get a rest. So he lets you get sick and you get a chance to rest and you gripe about that. Right? It's his patience. And the Bible says we can grieve him. Grieve the Holy Spirit. Rebecca certainly was not perfect. I can imagine there were many nights where Eliezer was in his tent and he heard... He'd smile and say, oh, one of these days, all those tears are going to be wiped away. I'm so glad that our Lord at 2 o'clock in the morning, he can hear us as we weep. He can see the tears on our pillow. I'm so glad he's so patient. I think he wants to say, my son, why would you cry? Why would you weep? Don't you know what I've done? And don't you know what I'm going to do? His patience. Thank God for that. Number one, we see the wait. Number two, we see the way. Number three, we see the wonder. Verse 63, the Bible says he lifted up his eyes, Isaac did, and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And it says in verse 64, Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Can you imagine their hearts were starting to beat just a little faster? And I mean, they're getting excited. Reminds me of Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Can you see it, Isaac? Methinks I see the camels coming. Woman. You know? Glory to God. The wonder. It says in verse 65, verse 64, Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. And she said, yippee! Well, I don't know if she said yippee. It's not in the Hebrew. Look, if you will, at 1 John 3, verse 1. 1 John, I'm just about done. 1 John 3 and verse 1. It's the greatest love story that could ever be told. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The wonder when we see him. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands. You don't think you'll be able to smile? You don't think you'll be rejoicing? Wow. The Bible says about Rebecca, because now she knew. She'd traveled the journey, the long trip, and she knew what this really meant, who Isaac is. The Bible says she took a veil and covered herself. Now, reverence. Now, subjection. Now, humility. Now she can bow the knee. Yeah, because there he is. The son is just as anxious because Jesus died for us. We are so precious to him. Every time I read that, I just imagine what it's going to be like when I see Jesus. And I'm going to be thrilled, and I know you're going to be thrilled. But what amazes me the most is that he's going to be thrilled to see me. Number four. Number one's the wait. Number two, the way. Number three, the wonder. Number four, the wedding. Verse 67, the Bible says, she became his wife. We go back to Revelation 19, verse 6, where we started this morning. And that day is going to come. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. That's us, in righteousness. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And that day's coming. It's a long trip. It's a long trip. There's a long wait. You've been saved 20 years. You've been saved 25, 30, maybe 50 years. It's quite a wait. And the way is not anything we've ever even thought about. Most of the world has no clue as to the way we're going. They have no idea. None. But let me tell you, God gave us the comforter to help us all along the way, and he's going to lead us home. And the wonder of that day when we see him, and that day when the wedding takes place. Again, it's not like a wedding like we know it. It's so much better, so much more precious. But that day's coming. That day's coming. And you know, take heart. Take heart, because that day could be very, very soon. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Let's all bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We've seen a story of love that is the story of probably everybody in this room. You got saved. You trusted Christ. The question was asked, wilt thou go? You said yes. You became a Christian. Then you started on a long, long journey, long trip. The way's been rough. The way's been through valleys. The way's been through difficulties and storms and trials. And you might be in the midst of one right now, but God's Holy Spirit is right there. Right there with you. He'll take care of every need if you just let him. And one of these days, you'll see Jesus face to face.